Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Original Flavor Wednesday Tadpog Podcast, a weekly show where two to three old guys talk about old games.
He's talking about me.
You think?
I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and back before I was old enough to go to an adult bookstore and buy sex toys.
Which you do so frequently. I'm looking at your shopping bags you brought over to Tadpog Annex.
And so I had to do some shopping.
I'm intimidated. I'm looking forward to the Manpog episode.
But before I could just go out, I wasn't old enough to get in, nor I believe I couldn't drive legally at that point. But my girlfriend and I at the time were interested in toys, but, you know, no way to access them. So the closest thing that I could come up with...
Legos.
was... is pretty standard technology, which would be the PlayStation 1 controller.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, if you just look at it, you could tell it was built for that.
Are we talking about like the dual analog PlayStation 1 controller with the vibrating function?
Yes.
Okay. One of those functions is, really, I'm sure, key to this story.
So the analog. Vibration.
Analog, right.
So wanted to try it out, had the PlayStation controller, and she utilized it, and I had the controller.
How do you mean?
She just sat on it.
Like she sat on it?
Yeah.
Like
it wouldn't really fit. Wouldn't really fit anywhere.
So, well, now we know a lot about your ex-girlfriend.
So however she angled it, whatever she had to do. And then the only game I think I had that had a reliable to make the vibration function was Crash Bandicoot. So trying her sitting on it while trying to have Crash Bandicoot run into an electric fence where it would just go for like 2 seconds doesn't really work. So if anybody out there has a significant other and you're interested in it, go buy a reliable accepted. Sex toy. Or if anybody can actually make it work, leave us some comments.
I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and I used to be Tyler's girlfriend and sat on a PlayStation controller while I played Crash Bandicoot. So
didn't work for him at all.
No. I mean, I had to have a really awkward conversation with my doctor, but other than that, everything worked out. We've got a special guest returning with us tonight, one Mr. Josh Nance of Uniracers and Guinea Pig interview episode fame.
Mm-hmm. Hi, guys.
Do you have a story about the time you sat on a controller for Tyler?
It wasn't.
I know it's pretty, but I'm just bringing it up in the air.
I want to say, I should have, like, probably had done something, like, because, you know, that was about the time I started masturbating, was whenever the PlayStation
controller. Whenever Crash Bandicoot came out. I would have been gone.
Your game facts in the mail. You're like, yeah.
I started dating way later in the game than Tyler ever did, so I didn't have a girlfriend or anything to experiment on, but it never crossed my mind to use the vibrating function.
Really?
Yeah. I did have a rumble pad for the N64. I wonder if that would have worked any better.
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyone want to volunteer?
If you have experience in this field.
I feel like we're building the perfect Craigslist post.
Let's see. Let's find the game combo. Either the dual analog controller with the PlayStation game. The key is to find the right PlayStation game, or the Rumble Pack for the N64 and find the right game. Maybe it's like, I don't know, Pokemon Stadium.
It's the Rumble Pack with Pokemon Snap, oddly enough.
Guys, I think placement's really the key. I really do. I think you gotta figure out placement.
I don't know. I think it's the game's the key. You gotta find the right game. Maybe Crash Bandicoot just wasn't the right game for her.
Yeah, could be.
Every girl has their preferences.
If we were to ask
her, I've been told. I don't take any note of them.
If we were to ask her what her favorite game is, like if we were to call her right now, let's do that by the way, and ask her what her favorite game is, do you think she'd say Crash Bandicoot?
Nope. Nope. I think she, let's see, she would probably start to say Tony Hawk until like that was the only time I ever felt like physically in danger was beating her at Tony Hawk. And she like came at me swinging for my face.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
And then you gave her a little Crash Bandicoot and everything.
Everything was fine.
Put in Crash Bandicoot real quick.
Like I'm dodging swings, trying to grab cases, flipping through cases.
I feel like that's a mini game for the Tadpog game. Whoever programs that, put that in as a mini game where Tyler has, it's like a rhythm game where Tyler has to dodge blows as he tries to put in Crash Bandicoot.
See that much? It's like a Guitaru Man.
What are we doing here? We're playing our way through IGN's, top 100 Super Nintendo games?
Right now, yeah. For right now, we are.
On our semi-weekly show.
Semi-weekly.
We remember why. Yeah. What were we talking about today?
Today is IGN's 57th ranked game, Earthworm Jim.
All right. Okay.
Groovy.
Groovy.
I wasn't going to try the...
Groovy. I wish Miller was here. Miller would be able to do that.
Yeah.
Miller, call in. Do a groovy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I was expecting that noise.
All right. This, man... I came in like I had decent memories of this game as a kid.
That was gonna be my first question. Did you ever play this as a kid?
I did. I never got past Heck as a kid. I remember playing. I was like, why didn't I ever get very far in this game? It was abundantly clear very quickly why I never got farther. This game is, wow, it is so difficult. It is like I had no recollection of it being so difficult.
Yeah, it's a tough game.
This. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't even.
Do you want me to get Crash Bandicoot? Are you okay?
Yeah. This game broke me. This game just broke my spirit and took so much sanity damage playing this game. Like I'm not joking. I just the thing is like I always want to beat the Tadpog game, and
I know
I wanted to love. I feel like I've shit on games. You know, I guess generally I tend to shit on games.
You're, I believe, a quote-unquote cloud of negativity.
Yeah, yeah. You know? But I wanted to love this game. I had fond memories of this game. Everybody seems like they all love Earthworm Jim. And I can't say no. It's a solid game. I'll say that right off the bat. But fuck, is it hard. Holy mother of God, is it hard. Yeah. I mean, it's unnecessarily hard. Like, but it's not like... It's not like it's poorly programmed and therefore it's hard. I feel like the controls aren't great, but it's programmed to be just a very, very difficult game.
Yeah, it's by design challenging for sure. I remember playing it as a kid and I beat it, but it took me a long time to do. And I felt like it's one of those games where I think they designed it to not be beat in one sitting, like in 2 hours.
Yeah, it worked. I rented this. I played on Genesis.
Which it was originally released on, what I believe.
Which the movie hut that I was close to, that I rented games from all the time, they didn't have a very big selection of Genesis games, but that was one of them. And I rented this game several times before I actually beat it. But yeah. It was very difficult, especially those few certain stages that we're having trouble with actually right before the show.
Uh-huh.
But I will probably get into those in a little bit. But yeah, there's for the most part, the levels themselves I thought were okay. The controls did seem a little sluggish to me, I remember. But yeah, those levels were absolutely frustrating.
Wait, Josh, do you hear that? Before we start talking too much more about this, I think I hear.
Yeah, I think I hear it too. It's not Trainsy, because Josh isn't lying, so that's how Trainsy shows up.
That's so pitiful.
Sounds like a Dave Reads from Wikipedia train.
Yeah, it is.
All right, okay. All right, guys. Earthworm Jim is a run-and-gun platform video game featuring an earthworm named Jim.
Okay.
In a robot.
I can see it, yeah.
Calm down, Josh. He's in a robotic suit, and he battles evil. He was created by, can you pronounce that for me? Doug Tenapel? Tenapel?
Tenapel.
Tenapel. I mean, really, it's a capital T and a capital N. So Tenapel, I guess. I don't know. And designed by David Perry. The game was developed by Shiny Entertainment and Playmates Interactive Entertainment, who you may know from giving us the Ninja Turtles action figures.
Okay.
It was released for the Sega Genesis in 1994, and then it was ported to another video game console, the Super Nintendo. It also came out on DOS, I believe, and Sega CD.
Oh, man. I want to know somebody who's played the DOS Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, if you did it on a keyboard, I want to meet this. I want to meet the person that played this on a keyboard.
Oh, man.
It was noted for fluid, cartoon-like animation, and it received positive reception and led to a sequel, Earthworm Jim 2, which we'll be playing eventually because I think it's on our list.
I think it's a lot higher, too. I want to say it's 10 to 20 spaces higher.
Yeah, and I don't want to talk about that game too much, but I think rightly so.
Yeah.
Because going back and playing Earthworm Jim 1, which I loved as a kid and still loved playing it, you know, for this show, I will say that Earthworm Jim 2 is one of those sequels that's definitely better than the original.
Good.
And it keeps the same feeling. It's not a Donkey Kong Country 3 scenario where it loses any of its soul. It maintains that feel. And it just does the right thing. It adds more to it. It takes care of a lot of the control issues, which I agree, Earthworm Jim is a little loose sometimes, especially when you're trying to whip hooks with your head.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I know that can get kind of choppy.
Yeah, it wasn't like Super Turrican too bad, but...
Oh, don't even talk to me about that game. I had forgotten about that fucking game.
And then you're only able to fire in certain set directions, and it seems like very few of the enemies are conveniently located in those spaces, so you're having to move your gun up and down a lot to try and...
Yeah, it's every 45 degrees. That's your shot. If an enemy's in between that 45 degree angle, then you're just out of luck.
Which was a big deal at the time because a lot of shooters were, you could only shoot in
like
four directions, up, down, left, and right. I remember Earthworm Jim, it may not be the first, but I remember it being one of the first where it had more angles that you could shoot at. You could shoot diagonally.
Speaking of shooting, I remember that being one of the things that like really drew me into the game. Wow, it's so realistic. His gun's bullets are so fast you can't see them. Because every other shooter like that, you had this little pellet that slowly moved across the screen.
Man, I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
That was one of my favorite parts of the game. Maybe my standards were really low.
I want to go ahead and get you on the record for this. One of your favorite things about the game was that Earthworm Jim was super realistic. Did I get that right?
Yeah. Okay. It drew me into the game because just that effect.
Where I understand.
You could see the
like the muzzle flare.
Yeah,
like,
and then the bullets impacting on the enemies. Yeah, that was.
So I guess what you say, anybody that's not too familiar with Earthworm Jim, is that the game is just every element is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, it is.
I can't describe the game in any other way than it's absolutely absurd.
And I can tell you why. If you'd like to. Mm-hmm. Do you know why? I didn't know this as a kid, but it was one of the things that attracted me to the game was it had this really absurd sense of humor and whimsy to it, which I'm drawn to weird things, and especially when it's surrounded by a good game. The developer actually worked on a game that we played, Aladdin, and he worked on a lot of games similar to Aladdin. Like, he may be your hero because I know he did Cool Spot.
Oh, okay. Okay. I can certainly see that style.
He also did a McDonald's I think, a Harlem Globetrotter McDonald's game or something. Is anyone familiar with this?
Man, that's okay. We got to add that to the worst games list.
No, actually, I'm sorry. It's McDonald's Global Gladiators, which I'm sure is much better than what I was saying.
I don't know. I think McDonald's Globetrotter McDonald's game? And Globetrotters. You play your favorite Globetrotter in a sim workspace where you're flipping burgers and dropping fries and whatnot to drive through.
I love that Scooby-Doo Globetrotter crossover.
Can that be our next D&D game?
Phyllis Diller.
We choose which party we're in. We're either the Harlem Globetrotters or we're Scooby in the McDonald's. But anyway.
Then Jacob would come in and want to play a guy from a Washington General just because he wants to do the exact opposite of whatever you want him to do. Now, I've got a really good idea for me to play one of the Washington Generals who, like, you know, he's there.
Okay.
Yeah, at McDonald's, like, at the time.
Hamburglar is obviously, like, at least a 12-level rogue, right? I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, let's find a 16th-level rogue and have him try to sneak attack it. But anyway, this developer worked on all these games where he felt constrained by a pre-existing license. Oh. And he had to work within their constraints and make sure that everything was checked off by a committee. That when he developed this game under his own studio, he went crazy doing as much as he absolutely could.
It reminds me of, well, no, I mean, I think the absurdity was genius for him, as opposed to you can see where somebody like, and this isn't game related, but somebody like Will Ferrell, who is also just absurd and crazy with their humor, he needs to be put in check a little bit because, like, I know, Josh, you've seen the first two seasons. I don't know if you've seen any of, I don't know why it just left me, the HBO series with the baseball player.
Oh, fuck. Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of it.
He's a character. He's a character in Eastbound and Down. And the first few appearances are funny, but then in his last appearance, they have to be like, whatever the fuck you want to do, man, go for it. And that episode is so fucking crazy that it just doesn't make any sense for the series whatsoever. He completely breaks everything that show set up, and it makes no sense whatsoever.
So it's like an episode of Tadpog.
Yeah. But, okay, we'll break it down. First level, New Junk City.
Yeah.
Earthworm Jim and basically a city of tires. And
a junkyard.
Yeah, it looks like it's a big junkyard. Mostly of tires and hooks.
Yeah.
And junkyard dogs. Weird dogs.
And a moose head. Yeah. And a refrigerator.
That you swing from. And, yeah.
I think one of the more iconic things about the series, you shoot down the refrigerator and launch a cow into the air.
Mm-hmm. Which you can't progress past that screen without doing it.
Mm-hmm. Earthworm Jim made me laugh my ass off, like, so hard that my ribs hurt on two different occasions. One was in the game, which involves the cow launch, and the ending of the game.
Spoilers.
I don't know if we're going to get to that later. We can address that later. But the other was a cartoon, which we can talk about later, too. The cartoon made me laugh my ass off once. So just, audience, remember the cow launch. You drop a refrigerator on a little log, like, that has a seesaw.
It's like a lever.
Yeah, and launches a cow up in the air.
And you get text that comes with it. This cow launch.
Cow launched, yeah.
Yeah, and then you progress through, and you have to, through this maze of tires swinging side to side, because he's in a suit, and he can remove himself from the suit and swing his worm body like a whip to lasso onto hooks and move.
Right, and he can also attack enemies that way. Mm-hmm. That's one of his two ways of attacking.
To conserve ammo, you can whip. It's short of range, but you can indefinitely whip.
Rarely ever use the
Another whip. Thing with the gun, another realistic effect with the gun, you have ammo.
Yeah,
but it regenerates.
but only to a certain amount.
Yeah, and then you can also get very powerful one-shot guns hidden throughout the stages.
Yeah, some plasma.
Yeah, I never utilized that well because you can't, like, toggle to it to choose to use it. It's just your next shot.
That is kind of a flaw. Yeah, you can't save it for a boss or anything. Mm-hmm. You get it. Yeah,
I don't know if it's a flaw. It's inconvenient. Yeah. I think it was specifically designed that way, though, so you couldn't save it up for bosses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I ever used one on a boss.
I don't think
you don't either. Often shoot bosses, though.
It's usually environmental.
Yeah. Which I thought that's another good, unique thing about the game is, you don't directly combat bosses.
Yeah, it's true. There are a couple, but a lot of those are mid-bosses.
Yeah, the mini-bosses you do. But, the the first boss, you use his own weapons against him, essentially. Mm-hmm. The second boss, you do attack, but it's like a one-shot thing.
Yeah.
You can hit him with anything,
essentially. The first mini boss is a trash can with tires for arms and legs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They can uppercut you to hell.
And also shoot tubas at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then the boss of that stage is...
Chuck.
Chuck is a fat guy on a conveyor and throws up fish and also drops tubas on you.
Yes,
and you
crates.
You have to knock the crates onto a spring that hits him until he starts exploding side to side. And then you jump on your spaceship and fly off.
Uh-huh.
Which you pull out in your pocket. Yeah.
Well, here's one thing I really didn't like about the game is the level between the levels. It makes sense.
Andy's asteroids.
From what I know the story is, but the Andy's asteroid levels I absolutely hated because you have to race the bounty hunter who is after you, Psycro.
Yes.
Which so what the story is that there was a scientist who made this suit for the queen, the butt queen.
Evil queen slug for a butt.
Yeah, evil queen slug for a butt, and it got knocked to Earth. And Earthworm Jim found it. Now Psycro is working for the queen to get the suit back. So he's hunting you.
All right.
So basically you're running to get away from him, you know, from level to level. So you're in a sort of reminds me of the Sonic the Hedgehog Chaos Emerald levels where the perspective shifts and you have to get these gems run a circle where you're flying.
Back behind Earthworm Jim and you're flying through a wormhole.
It's not hard. I don't think I lost the very last one.
Yeah, the last one is... Of course, the most difficult. Mm-hmm. What happens when you lose?
You have to fight Psycro.
Right, in a boss battle.
This game is very meticulous about keeping up with your health at any point. So if you beat Chuck with just like a few hit points left, the first meteor you hit in Andy's Asteroids will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you fight Psycro, you will start the next level with however many health you had when you finish off Psycro.
And I think he's one of the toughest bosses in the game.
It's lengthy, yeah.
It is, yeah, he is hard, but... I have to say, I like that feature. Yeah, that's a little kind of annoying little mini game where you have to race him. But even if you lose, you don't have to start over. You don't have to keep racing him until you win.
It's done and over with.
Yeah.
You take your lumps.
Yeah, you lose. That's fine. You have a boss battle that you didn't have to fight before, but you can continue on. So you're not forced to replay the stupid mini game over and over again.
And I like it too, mainly because it's one of the few ways you can get continues in the game. Because if you collect 50 blue orbs while you do it, you get a continue, which is really, really important, I think.
You have to
game
have
this difficult.
Yep. Let's say then the second level is Heck.
Yeah, what the heck?
And you fight
Evil the Cat.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think I ever even got to Evil the Cat when I was younger.
Yeah.
I think this level just defeated me. But you progress through Heck, going through, it's, you know, kind of a maze. You find these gems that you run on that teleport you or raise and lower you different parts of the stage.
Right.
The mid-boss being a snowman.
Yes.
Which you can skip, which I've managed to skip.
Yeah. I never skipped him as a kid. I heard that there was a trick to doing it, but...
I never skipped him either. But I think it's important to point out that the snowman breathes fire.
Mm-hmm.
No, see, I skipped him, so I don't know.
he was the most fun thing in the game, Tyler.
That's why it was just the best.
No wonder you don't like the game.
It's not a bad game. I didn't hate it. I've never been more just frustrated and broken and downtrodden about playing a game. But at this point, the first two levels, I was good. I was having a good time the first two levels. And you fight lawyers and Heck.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Can I just say, I always have thought this and never really felt it appropriate to express it. But now I finally do after years and years.
We've given you a venue.
Really, you have. Is that Evil the Cat reminds me of Steve Buscemi. Like,
pretty good.
Like if there was a live action Earthworm Jim and he didn't get cast to play Evil the Cat, I would be furious.
or Earthworm Jim. I think he could do either.
It's okay. Everyone's cast by Steve Buscemi. Eddie Murphy on this bitch.
Thank you.
You can reuse the Clumps movie poster and just scratch it out and then scribble underneath Earthworm Jim. Scratch out Eddie Murphy, Steve Buscemi. Just leave all the art exactly the same.
But is his HBO show still going strong? I mean, is he desperate enough to do this?
Oh, no. Boardwalk Empire is killing, so no, he's not.
Yeah,
but you get to Evil the Cat, which when you fight him, he has 9 lives. So you have to hit him. You have to kill him 9 times before he's dead.
The first, there's 2 stages to it. You've got to dodge because you're teleported to him. You get on one of those stones.
He steals your suit.
Yeah, you're teleported to him. You're out of your suit. You're just an earthworm coiled up, and you have to, he's shooting fireballs or something at you. And you have to dodge until you can get your suit back. Then once you're in your suit, then you actually fight him.
Which
he has.
And that fight was always, and it still is, it was stressful to me as a kid because, like you said, Tyler, you have to kill him 9 times because he has 9 lives. He lurks in the shadows and will jump out at you. And
from any direction.
Right. I still to this day can't recognize a pattern to it. So I don't know how it's decided. Mm-hmm. But that used to always stress me out is like I knew I'd have to, he'd jump out and I'd have like a split second to shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
And like all you have to do is hit him once.
Yeah.
You hit him once just and one he loses bullet. A life.
He turns into a Joe and Max style ghost and floats up.
But
it was hard.
It's a tough fight.
Especially this early in the game. It's difficult. But when you beat him, then you go to the down the tubes level. You're just underwater, going through a hamster cage that's underwater, a enormous hamster cage.
That's a fair way of saying it. Did you notice
the actual hamsters in there? Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, did you notice Rapture in the background?
No. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was telling Josh earlier that I really hope in the BioShock DLC, you can just see like this little worm in a bubble just floating around the background.
Just bumping into walls and cracking his little sphere of glass.
But yeah, you it's full of these very muscular cats and these very small kittens, both of which will just kill you if they come in contact with you, just rip you to shreds.
Army of underwater cats.
Yep. Yeah, they take like a fifth or fourth or something of your life.
They take 20% each. Yeah.
They're invulnerable to anything he can do.
Yeah, you just have to avoid them, which I did something that I'd never done before, and you mentioned you'd never seen it before, Dave. I get between two of these cats, and whenever they grab you and they punch you, and whenever they punch you, you launch halfway across the screen. Well, one of them grabbed me and punched me toward the other cat, which grabbed me and punched me toward the other cat, which grabbed me and punched me. And they just kept
volleyed over and over again until he died. See, I'd seen it before where you dodge like 3 of them and then get to the end and then one catches you and he throws you back and another one grabs you and they keep throwing you back. But no, I've never seen them go volley back and forth until you're murdered.
But yeah, you jump over these cats until you can lift a hamster cage and you ride a giant hamster who eats all the cats.
Yeah, the little cats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the cats that can fit in its hamster mouth.
But that part of the game, honestly, no problem.
Yeah.
It's once you get to the end of a tube and you have to ride a bathysphere between levels.
Can you please get a chest piece tattoo that says ride the bathysphere?
Well, I did our BioShock one from the inside of a bathysphere. That's how devoted I am. But the first, you have to do 3 times you ride the bathysphere, and the first 2 are 30-second jaunts, no problem. But it's the third one that you have 99 seconds. Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly long maze you have to maneuver. You're inside the glass sphere, and then you can move up, down, side to side.
Yeah, the controls are very unique because you don't actually move the sphere so much as you control the jets on the sphere. You can twist them around. They spin 360 degrees around, and you can
Point the jets whichever way you want to go.
The opposite, point the jets in the opposite direction, I guess.
It depends on how you think about it,
And then you can turn the jets on, and then that will move your sphere. So the controls are very, very difficult to master.
The space you have to navigate is small, the sphere is large, and the camera is very close.
Right.
It's very difficult to even see where you're going.
Yes.
And every time you bump into the wall, the glass cracks. The
bathysphere starts to crack.
So I guess seven hits and it implodes, the water pressure, you're just dead.
Mm-hmm. So you're being timed and you are forced to be careful about it and take it slow. You gain momentum and you can bump into the wall and then bounce off into another wall. And just, it's a vicious cycle.
It's Rube Goldberg machine of death.
Uh-huh. So Rube Goldberg's a really good comparison, I think, to make to Earthworm Jim, by the way.
It creates a very frustrating situation, which, yeah, I had the first two. The first two, the 30-second little stages were no problem for me. I blew through those just fine. But, yeah, the 99-second one, which you're forced to get up speed and gain, you know, gain momentum.
Yeah, you got
to
go fast.
But you've basically, it comes down to memorizing the layout of the maze
and having amazing control.
Yeah,
over
this
it.
Is this is one I had a map of when I was a kid. Yeah, I drew this one out.
Yeah, you'd have to. Mm-hmm. You pretty much have to.
I thought it was very kind that very early in the beginning of that race they have a one up. That's hidden really close. Mm. So I'd always grab that one up before doing the rest of it in case I died, because I would.
But the problem is the time it takes you to get that one up, unless you find that secret that we, or Tyler discovered.
Yeah, well, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Well, see, I before I started keeping count, I have no idea how many times I went through this. No idea. Tons of times. And then I just said to myself, 50 times. If I can't do it in 50 times, I'm just done with this game. And I got in the high 40s.
I think you told me 47.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, because this is what just, this destroyed me. This ruined me on the game. This level was so difficult. And I YouTube videos, demos, and people were amazing at it. They were just like flying through as fast as you could go, bouncing, you know, not bouncing off anything.
I mean, if someone takes the time to make a YouTube video of them going through an Earthworm gym level, they're probably pretty good at it.
But it's not telling me anything. Mm-hmm. And then every fact I read about Earthworm gym, they're all terrible. Terrible. Like IGN's is awful. All the ones on GameFAQs, they're just like each level just has like a paragraph.
Yeah.
And like,
let's write one, guys.
I found one.
Call Alex.
one that was decent, but it was just constructed so strangely. It was like it was made in like a GeoCities site, and everything was like every sentence was numbered, and it was like they were all out of order. So I had to read through and pick. And that was the only one that mentioned there was a hidden air chamber between the fourth and fifth bracket, like where you see these metal fences in this maze.
Pretty close to the end of the maze, but...
Yeah, no video I could find showed me where it was. So I just had to kind of being described in Earthworm Jim where something is
yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult. So I just had to eventually, that 47th try, I found what he was talking about, and you float through, and toward the end, you find another air valve that raises your time back up to 80.
You actually have to float through a wall that you would normally bounce off of.
The illusory wall. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if people thought, because the way the guide said, like, yes, this does actually exist. Like, if it was one of those weird Super Nintendo rumors, like, 5SE6, that you can get Cecil in your party and shit like that, that no, Shadow has
resurrect
an eighth dream.
General. Yeah.
Yep. Well, this game had a lot of secrets. Earthworm Jim had a lot of secrets.
Yeah, because we watched a video. It was actually very fast paced. It was like 6 minutes long or something like that. But yeah, all the little secrets, and it showed them very quickly. But yeah, there was like half a dozen in each level at least.
Yeah, I mean easily. I mean, I feel like it's one of those games, I guess, similar to Maximum Carnage when we talked about it, where it would probably be easier if we knew where everything was hidden.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, I knew where a lot of this stuff was hidden, but playing it again, I'd forgotten a lot.
I didn't want to take the time to find it. I just wanted to be done. I was after this part, I was enjoying it until this part, and then I can't say that I had such a frustrating experience with this part that it absolutely colored the rest of the game for me.
Mm.
Like it brought me down to such just low, frustrated, sad, broken places that the boss at the end of this level, Bob the Fish, when you make it to him, he is a diabolical evil fish in a bowl.
Uh-huh.
Josh, what happens?
You knock the bowl over.
That's it?
Yep.
Yep.
So that restored a little bit of sanity to me.
I love that.
Yeah.
And then you knock the bowl over, he's flopping on the ground, you pull out your spaceship and fly off.
If you've never played Earthworm Jim before, but you've played Battletoads, this is the Turbo Tunnel of Earthworm Jim.
Yeah.
Just to let
very,
you know,
very
this
good
is
comparison.
This level is a Turbo Tunnel for Earthworm Jim.
It's early in the game. Yep. It's extremely frustrating. Yeah, it's
different controls. Mm. It's different than what you're used to. I don't know. I still like it. I mean, but
I still like the game. I
still like the level.
That the level was one of my least favorites. I think oh, what is, oh, the snot, it's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Was a pretty frustrating level for me too.
Which is next, isn't it?
Yeah, you race Psycurl again, and then yes, not a problem.
Yeah,
which is
bungee jumping
slash fighting.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's three rounds. You have
you're
to fight.
Bungee fighting Sergeant Snot or something
it's
like
major
that.
Mucus.
Major mucus. Major mucus. That's close.
Which yes. I think once you figure out the pattern, I remember you kind of the trick is you're bungee jumping.
You're both bungee jumping
with. What was his name again?
Major Mucus.
Major Mucus, okay. You're bungee jumping with Major Mucus. You can bump into them, which pushes them up against a cliff.
Right.
If you do it close enough to the cliff.
Right. Every time you bump him up against the cliff, his bungee cord...
like strains a little bit and eventually will break.
Also, what's at the bottom?
A giant like mutant fish or something. It's
big,
like the
big fucking monster.
The Simpsons fish. The
three eyed.
Yeah, the mutated. Yeah. Fish will come up and snap you, but
and kill you instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like I believe, snap you in half.
Yep.
But you can. I think you can lure Major Mucus. Like if you get close to the edge, he will gradually get close to the edge,
right?
And then you like swiftly get on the other side of him, bump
and
against him.
Bumping, man.
It's kind of still a frustrating thing to do. I remember.
I think the first two rounds have always been easy for me, and then the third round, in typical fighting game style, they fucking ramp up the difficulty because I still to this day have problems with round three, where it's just the same thing. You're just trying to knock him into the cliff, but all of a sudden he won't follow you. It's harder to lure him to the side, and he'll start doing the Tasmanian devil spin move, which makes him invincible.
Well, he's learning, Dave. It's realistic.
Yeah.
All right. There's that Earthworm Jim realism coming to.
Well, he doesn't fly into the
another
corner.
Point.
He doesn't barely move.
The major mucus AI.
Josh said when we were playing, like, we have no idea how Earthworm Jim got in this situation, why he is suddenly bungee jumping against this, because he's a glob of snot, and his bungee cord is just snot that he's dripping up and down.
Yep.
But I wouldn't have minded this level if the three rounds had been broken up. Like, I didn't like the racing part, but I feel if this had been done a little differently, where you just weren't bombarded with...
three in a row?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Like,
space
you did
it out between,
and, yeah. between one stage, and then go on to do another stage or two, and then this again. Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah.
But, overall, it's more difficult, but it's also pretty short if you kind of get the hang of it. And then after that, you move on to the factory...
Professor Monkey,
which I felt was one of the more uninspired,
which had a secret level
game.
That we didn't get.
Yeah, the laboratory's always been like my least favorite level in the game because it's essentially jumping from what are those electric static electric balls they have at children's museums. Also, I think that level's kind of uninspired compared to the rest.
Yeah, you get clusterfucked by these little eye robots that come out of opening holes. Professor Monkey for a Brain that's interesting because it's a monkey body on the top half to the top half of his head and then Professor on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
They're grafted. That's a human and a monkey grafted at the skull, the top of their skulls.
But you don't really do much with him because you shoot him until he runs off and you follow him on chains and then just follow him through the factory.
Yeah, I never really cared for that level much because compared to the rest, it just kind of, it's lackluster. Mm-hmm. Like, I think in like a regular game, I would be like, okay, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Compared to everything else in this game,
it's
just kind of like,
normal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's almost normal. I'd like to see that as a 5-star rating for our show on iTunes. It's almost normal. So, hey, if someone wants to do that for us, that'd be great. But I'm not bribing you to do it.
Well, then after that, at a level...
Pete's Sake.
For Pete's Sake.
Ooh. Which I feel like is sort of an iconic level for Earthworm Jim.
Yeah. This is the one I got really, really stuck on when I was a kid. Like, this, I don't think I got past this level until like a fourth or fifth rental.
I remember as a kid, it was a really frustrating level for me too. But I just loved the animation when Pete would Hulk out.
Yeah, yeah.
And...
so what's happening here?
Yeah, he's getting injured and...
Right.
Yeah,
it's a fucked up escort mission.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
What's your job?
You're escorting Pete, who's a cute little puppy dog. And what is he, a father too?
Yeah, but I think that gets, we get into that in Earthworm Jim too.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, when you start rescuing his kids.
Yeah. Okay.
Damn purple dog. Fucking purple dog.
But he's essentially a lemming because he just moves from left to right.
Yeah.
Doesn't jump, doesn't slow his
pace. Yeah, you have no control over his
pace. He's just skipping.
He's just moving along. Yeah. And what you have to do is you have to herd him. You have to shepherd him to the end of the level by whipping him with your head whenever you want him to jump.
Yep, and then you shoot him to make him stop.
Right.
And that's, yeah, and then there are, you're like on the surface of a moon, and then there are tentacles everywhere, and these
Cthulhu, yeah.
these UFOs that will just fuck with you. I remember I was playing this at one point, and like, I feel myself on the verge of tears because I'm almost done, and like I'm shooting all these tentacles, and then like Pete's almost home, and I get over, and then just I see the UFO coming, and he's out of my angle range, and I'm like almost in tears, like please just leave me alone, please, Mr. UFO, just don't. I'm just go. We'll be fine. I won't shoot you. You don't fuck with me. Let's just get the dog home. But nope. They just come and they hold you and spin you around in circles until Pete will fall off something, turns into the ravenous beast, and takes you back to the checkpoint of that part of the level, usually bypassing everything you've just done to start all over again.
Okay, no
Tyler
offense.
Tyler learned a very important lesson, life lesson that day.
What was that?
Life's tough. Get over it.
I don't mean to sound like a dick here, but I'm so glad that happened to you because... That is what would happen to me. Like, it seemed like every fucking time as a kid playing this, I could see his house, you know? Mm-hmm. It's there at the end. And then that fucking UFO would come by and just completely stop me from doing anything.
I think it was programmed to do that.
It's weird, yeah.
I remember that.
And you can. Like, there was no
what
fucking...
What are the odds? All three of our games?
Wow.
And there was no fucking way I was going to do it. But you can whip Pete over his house and do the advanced route.
I've tried that before.
No fucking way I would ever do that.
I've tried it. My recommendation would be to not try it.
Oh, man. Because it's tons of like extra lives and shit like that.
Oh, yeah. You can get a whole bunch of shit. But
I didn't even know about this.
Yeah. If you whip him over his house, you go on this advanced track and it is... redonkulous. It is fucking crazy.
See, I couldn't imagine what advance. I do not want to even see advance. Pete, go home.
The first time I did it, man, as a kid, it was just immediately I made a horrible mistake.
Then after, for Pete's sake, then you arrive in Buttville.
Yes.
I don't know what the hidden stage is.
There's a hidden stage in the laboratory.
It's pretty short.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but it all takes place in a dark room and you can't see anything except for where these overhead lights are shining.
And your eyes, you see Earthworm Jim's eyes.
Right. And
so you know where your character is basically.
There aren't very many enemies. It's just an opportunity for you to get, some one-ups and stuff like that. There's actually a level in the Genesis version of the game called Intestinal Distress, which isn't in the Super Nintendo game, which they claim was because it had something to do with the compression after they ported from Genesis.
It's, I guess, same thing for Shaq Fu, since they dropped like four characters. Yeah. I don't know, is Genesis that much more memory on it than the Super Nintendo?
I never thought so, but I don't know. It may literally be exactly what they said. It may just be that Super Nintendo games compressed their files differently than Genesis games. I don't know.
Or was like Sega the Microsoft back in the day, and they would get the exclusive stuff early and pay a lot and hedge everyone else out so they get the best version. And then
I'm not saying that didn't happen.
Well, you know? if you want the intestines level, you'll have to pre-order at Best Buy.
The intestinal DLC.
But man,
Earthworm Jim starter pack, 3 plasma shots, and
you want an Earthworm Jim gold suit? Got to pre-order at GameStop, dog.
But fucking Buttville. Fucking Buttville.
Butt fuckingville.
No, not having it. Explain it to us.
Because you're just in it's a world of thorns. Do you see one butt?
It's the queen's land. I mean,
she's got the one butt, but that's the majority of the level. You're basically, I guess, you're on her butt, sort of.
Yeah.
And it's just like
vertically scrolling. And you what, helicopter down?
Helicopter down around, you swing on vines, and it's just spikes everywhere that do just an unbelievable amount of damage.
Yes.
Not one hit kill, but like 2-hit kill, 3-hit kill. Often once you drop in them, you can't easily get back up and usually just die. Yeah,
so whatever Earthworm Jim's suit is made out of is obviously a higher quality metal than Mega Man.
True, because one set of spikes does him in.
You've seen that. I guess they changed the spikes eventually because I wonder if that episode of Mega Man where Mega Man X comes back, if he were to go to Mega Man spikes, could he walk on them?
You think Mega Man X has like unique spikes?
If they had to upgrade the spikes to fuck with Mega Man if his suit's stronger.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you get through this level, which also tons of enemies that do one-hit kills. The slugs with the pincers, they don't even have to pinch you. If you brush up against them, you are dead.
Yeah.
And they're all over the place. You have to time your jumps, and it's just, there was this one place where you have to do like 3 or 4 in a row, and as soon as you step on these basketballs, almost... Yeah. And you have to keep jumping to stay on them because you'll slide off. So you're jumping and trying to make it from platform to platform. And as soon as you land on one, they come out and snip you in half. It took me a long time to figure out that I never used the whip. I didn't like using the whip. But you have to whip them to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, you only whip in 2 directions, really.
Yeah.
So it...
Diagonal up and diagonal back.
Yeah, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was...
It's tough.
Tough and frustrating. And then when you get to the end of the level... you get to the queen's butt.
Yes.
And again, I didn't like using the whip, which I should have thought Earthbound Gym style, whipping the butt.
You squeeze that in there.
Earthbound in.
Oh.
We're on to you.
Earthworm Jim, that I just try to shoot it.
Yeah.
And the more you shoot it, the faster the plat, because you're dropped down and there are rocks, that move. And then 2 are spikes, so you can fall through and hurt yourself.
Right.
Okay, this game was so difficult. The only way I could do it was just spamming in-game codes. Pause the game, put in a code, refill your life, refill your ammo, get more lives. I fucking spammed the shit out of these, the whole game. So during this level, I spent 45 minutes shooting her butt, and the platforms get faster and faster and faster. So fast, I could not fall through them. So, like, the only thing that's hurting me... I know
that's an achievement that you've got prepared. The centrifuge.
It was. I couldn't see them. It was just a blur. The only thing that was getting me is if I'll land on him, it immediately throws me against the spikes in the back.
Oh.
That's the only thing that's doing damage. So I fall back, I hit those, I shoot the butt, drop, fall back. And I do that little triangular motion, just pausing, refilling my health every 2 times I do it. I'm just like, I have no idea what to do. So then GameFAQs did actually say, whip the butt.
Mm-hmm.
So, psh, 2 whips, gone. Yeah,
doesn't take much at all.
Yep.
I remember I had to use cheat codes whenever I played it as a kid. I don't remember how I got them. It was for Genesis, so it wasn't
sure,
Nintendo
Josh.
Powerhouse.
That's what they all say.
But yeah, it was like some magazine, most likely. I got the cheat codes for it. Finally, I could beat it.
Mm.
But I didn't. I did it eventually with lives and continues. I didn't beat it this time. I didn't have enough time to play it to beat it. But yeah, I had to cheat to beat it as a kid. But I managed to get to, for Pete's sake, without using cheat codes.
That's pretty good.
I don't remember if I ever beat, for Pete's sake, without using cheat codes or not, but I remember I could at least get there. But yeah, it is a very hard game.
I thought about breaking out the Game Genie for this, but when I was looking up Game Genie codes, the ones that the Game Genie does, you can just pause the game and put in.
I was about to say, were they worse than
the ones for Genesis cover everything. That little, the bathysphere, you can give it where it can't break, where you have unlimited time.
Mm-hmm.
All tailor codes for like every level.
I guess that makes sense since the game was developed for the Genesis.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense that they would maybe cut as much stuff as they could on ports.
So it's just, it was. And the Queen, I can't complain that it was easy, but the most lackluster boss.
Yeah, I think it's one of those anticlimactic things that they typically were doing with this game. Because it is, it's like you said, I think you whip her two or three times.
I didn't even whip her. I just got on the platform, and as long as you're shooting her, she doesn't release any spawn to get you. So you just fire straight down or straight across as you float around her, and that's all I did. You can't be hurt. She can't get you. You can't fall off. It's just you have to make sure you have 2,000 shots going in, yeah. And you just spam around her, and she's dead.
Well, was it really anticlimactic? I mean, how does she die, Tyler?
After you shoot her, uh-huh. I remember her screaming, and then me just sitting in my controller and blacking out. Like I was just happy. I was just relieved.
I think you're mixing the ending up.
Oh, is it two? Is it
no? It's not two. It's although it may make a return in two. I can't remember because it's been a while. Are you're spoilers, right? You're talking about the cow.
No. This was the thing I referenced earlier where I laughed my ass off.
Yes, and me too. It's when you kill the queen. You rescue, this whole time you've been trying to rescue Princess What's-Her-Name, which is another satire. This game is a great platformer, but it's a satire of platformers, where you're rescuing some nameless princess in the name of good. And so you rescue her, finally. You finally get to her, and then the cow that
she's
you launched.
She's super sexy.
Oh, okay.
Super, super sexy.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
The cow that you launched in level one lands on her.
Yep.
And then that's and roll credits.
Yeah. Earthworm Jim just looks down, plods off, and then the cliff that they're all on breaks off, falls into the sea, and that's it.
Yep. Wow. Yes.
My ass off.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, because I think you see the cow at some other stages like launch through the background.
Yeah, you see him
like
flying
that.
Through the tube race even underwater. Uh-huh. He just flies through the background.
But yeah, it just like I was just in awe at like the foresight that these programmers.
No, I'm with you, man. I still think it's brilliant.
Yeah. And so laughed my ass off at that. Do you have cartoon anywhere on your notes?
Yeah, I do. Talk about your favorite episode.
Okay, I before we started recording, I was talking about the cartoon with Tyler, and I mentioned the fact that I thought something was so funny in the cartoon. And he remembered something different that I thought was so funny in the cartoon. Mm-hmm. So we have two apparently funny stories about the cartoon that I just thought was so funny. But I don't remember the one I told Tyler. But the one that I remember was an episode. Okay, by the way, the cartoon, I forgot when it aired, but it aired for a couple seasons.
Yeah, two seasons, I think we found.
So in the cartoon, the... Evil the cat is trying to get Earthworm Jim. I don't remember exactly the setup, but he's gets
evil.
He gets a voodoo doll of Earthworm Jim. He has this voodoo doll, and he starts using it on Earthworm Jim and making like Earthworm Jim like punch himself and just
I remember this episode.
Beating the shit out of Earthworm Jim. Earthworm Jim can't do anything about it. So how's he gonna win? And he's like, he just gets an epiphany. Wait a minute. I wonder.
An Epiphone.
I wonder if it works the other way around. So he turns around and starts like punching the air, and the voodoo doll turns around and starts like beating the shit out of Evil the Cat. And I just thought like the whole concept was just so. Like, oh,
I wish everyone could see how bright Josh's face. This is the happiest I've seen Josh. Maybe since he got back from Arkansas, I'm hard pressed to like name you a time. I see
not
Josh.
On his wedding day. No.
So yeah, that whole concept was just so bizarre to me. I never thought about that before. That's so genius. Oh, that's amazing. So I remember telling my mom, and like, I couldn't convey it very well. Like she was in the kitchen doing dishes or something, and I just like got really excited to try to explain it to her, but she had no idea what I was talking about.
She grounded you from watching it because it had voodoo in it.
Which I'm glad you brought up, but how the hell did your mom, did you like hide this from your parents?
I didn't watch. Oh no, I played
as a kid.
I think I must have played it at your house, Josh. I never had it at home.
Because I can only imagine what would have happened.
That's true. They probably, they would have. My dad would have turned it off, thrown the Super Nintendo against the wall, and then left.
It would have been like you putting a cat in a blender. I mean,
But what I remember you telling me, because I'd played the game a little bit. I'd never seen the show, but I remember like I was doing something else, and you were telling me so excited, like you thought it was again like this. You thought it was so funny. So like, you know, Earthworm Jim, Cycrow keeps failing to get Earthworm Jim, and so he decides he's going to quit bounty hunting. He's going to go in a different profession. And every time he goes, like he goes and tries to be like a lawyer, and they tell him, you can't be a lawyer, you're too evil. It's not going to work. He goes and he tries to be, he tries to work the drive-thru at like a fast food restaurant. And they're like, no, you're too evil. People don't like you. You can't do it. He goes to like seven different professions, and he finally goes and he tries to be a gym teacher. And he auditions or does the interview and goes through all this stuff. And they're like, no, you're not evil enough to be a gym teacher. And I always remember that, because you're just like, when you got to that part, you were like, and he wasn't evil enough to be a gym teacher. He's too evil to be everything else, Tyler, but not a gym teacher.
All right. Can we pitch a remake of the Earthworm Jim cartoon? I want Steve Buscemi as Evil the Cat, and I want H. John Benjamin as Cycrow.
That's pretty good. Oh, man. Those are all my game notes.
So what is Earthworm Jim? Is he a cowboy? Did we ever figure this out?
He does have because we never gets hit.
Is he like a surfer cowboy? Because he says groovy a lot, but groovy.
I know he was voiced by the developer, who I think is from London. So I'm willing to bet. I've heard some really, really bad American impersonations from people across the pond. Where a lot of times it's like John Wayne kind of sounding. And I think maybe that has something to do with it. Guess. Because it is all like sort of like, it's all like very country, mm-hmm. very hick almost.
Even music, like the fast pace, the racing music.
The Andy's Asteroids.
Yeah, he lassos his head whenever you're done. And what does he say? Like when he gets hit, he says like, ow! Ow!
Yeah.
I always thought he was saying damn, but they changed it just enough to get away with it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and whoa, Nelly! When he hits the warps. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe that was
Earthworms do only exist in the southern part of the United States.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot about that.
Yeah. That explains it.
I've got something that we haven't done in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Because we really haven't had the opportunity to do it. Josh, I guess I'll start with you, if you're okay with that.
Is this a quiz?
It is a quiz of sorts. It's a little segment I like to call Where Are They Now?
Ah, okay.
Josh, Shiny Entertainment, who developed Earthworm Jim, where are they now?
Where are they now, Earthworm Jim? Didn't they make a few, like a DS version recently? Or they released, I'm going to say they're still around doing something. I'm not sure what.
Okay.
I'm going to say they're still around re-releasing Earthworm Jim. different platforms.
It sounds like this guy was so frustrated about being constrained by game companies. I can't imagine he would relinquish all his intellectual property to someone else. So I bet they don't do much, but I bet they're still around. I'm with Josh.
They were acquired
by EA.
Sell out.
By Infogrames in 2002. Yep, that's when David Perry sold the company. Like I said earlier, he had previously developed 7-Up's Cool Spot, McDonald's Global Gladiators, and Disney's Aladdin.
And his brother wrote Wheel in the Sky.
Yes, yes, he did. That took me a shameful amount of time to process. After they did Earthworm Jim, they did Earthworm Jim 2. They did one of the first, someone's going to correct me on that, but one of the first third-person action shooters called MDK. It was a PC game.
I don't know if you guys remember that.
I remember Shake really driving that game.
That was a great, great game at the time. And then they kind of just, from what I understand, they just kind of fell off. So I don't know. Do you have achievements?
I do. I have two.
I have three.
Shit.
Prepared.
Oh, man.
It's like I've just been waiting. I've just been waiting a decade and a half. Maybe two. Oh, damn.
I thought of one. I came up with a name of it earlier in this episode.
That's all I
do. Let's go 1, 2, 3 then.
I just come up with names.
Mine? Mm-hmm. Okay. D&D reference then. Worm that walks.
Nice.
I'd say, okay, the can of worms are the continues. You get, in the game, you get continues, extra continues. It's a can of worms, and whenever you use one, the can pops open and the little worms wiggle. So worm that walks, made up of many, many worms. So let's say you acquire, like, I don't know, 10 continues. Can you get that many in the game?
I don't think so.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go ahead and say 10. Okay. I'm a fan of the impossible achievement.
Okay, 10 continues in Earthworm Jim. You get worm that walks.
That's good. My first one is Caesar Milan, and that is getting Pete through the advanced course. You unlock the dog whisperer, Caesar Milan.
Okay, nice.
The other one is Devo Devotee. And that is you must whip the queen's butt to death.
Okay.
Okay.
I like that. I've got Damn It Jim. And in order to get Damn It Jim, you have to die at least one time from pissing Pete off.
Okay.
I've also got Chekhov's refrigerator. Because we
with the Star Trek.
Yeah.
Because that's a short fiction writer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But Chekhov's, if you show a refrigerator in the first act, it has to fall on a princess in the last act. I'm sorry, a cow. If you show a cow. Yeah.
Okay.
The third one I've got is Conqueror Worm. And to get Conqueror Worm, you have to beat the game with one life.
Good luck with that.
Yep, I can't do it.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Somebody will. Somebody has done it.
I just immediately regretted not doing some kind of Worms Armageddon.
We got time.
Achievements. No,
do it.
It's at the end of the episode. I can't think of them right now.
Call in next week. Okay. Give it to us.
On the way home today.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had a lot of fun tonight hanging out with Josh and talking about worms and all kinds of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You like to give games beards on this show to let everyone know how you feel about it. If you were to give Earthworm Jim a beard, what kind of beard would it be?
I would give it a beard, and this beard is completely composed of villa.
Worms.
And the villa can attach to the soil, and you can digest the soil and derive nutrients from the earth, but it's a fucking beard made of villa.
It's pretty weird beard.
Yeah.
Well, you could be like...
It's good, but it's also at the same time, it's like, fuck, man.
It's like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, it's like the mind player
Davy
beard.
Davy Jones,
yeah.
Tyler, if you were to give this game, I don't know, a pair of glasses?
Mm.
What kind of glasses do you think you'd give it?
Do you know the inventor of the original pair of bifocals?
Would that be Benjamin Franklin?
It is Benjamin Franklin. So I give this the first prototype bifocals handcrafted by Benjamin Franklin.
Mm.
So you know he's done better work. he's made something great, but it's still rough and needs to be refined. It can be done better later.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Mm. We're not thanking anybody. We don't have calls. It's other shit Monday shit.
Yep. If you're looking
shit on other shit Monday shit.
Mm-hmm. Shit.
We done? This is it?
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss the next episode. We will be talking about IGN's, we looked it up earlier,
56. Number
56th ranked game, Alien 3.
Which I remember, well, I'll save it.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give the show a 5-star rating, write a review. We randomly might give out gifts of appreciation, but they are in no way bribes or anything like that, or just signs of appreciation for fans who enjoy the work that we do.
Yes, please give us an honest 5-star rating. Don't worry, guys. We will be back next week. In the meantime, while you're taking a break from playing Earthworm Jim, you can find more Tadpog goodness on tadpog.com or facebook.com/tadpog. Our intro song, Josh.
Do you always call on me? You never call on Tyler for this question.
You haven't been listening.
It's Moves. Moves by Sycamore Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Rush.
Where can a link to that track be found, Josh?
Show notes, Dave. Mm-hmm. I've been here before. Yeah. I've done this.
Where do the show notes live, Josh?
In the Tadpog. In the Tadpog house.
Tadpog house? Yep.
It's a giant book in which a two-headed man listens to our wishes and then crawls up the stairs and writes down the details in this giant tome. I don't think I ever, Evan.
Evan.
You're welcome, Nicole.